This is a podcast for the MA in Online Journalism by Distance Learning at Birmingham City University.
This week I'm going to talk about law, and I'm going to split the three podcasts between three different areas of law which have particular implications for online publishing and online journalism. Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on the basics of law because these are covered in many textbooks, and I know that you as distance learners already have a pretty solid background in law training through other previous education and training. So I'm going to just cover a little bit of the basics and then talk specifically about how this plays out in the online field. And I'm going to begin with copyright. Now, copyright has, broadly speaking, two sides to it. The first are the moral rights, which are the rights to be identified as the author of a work, and the right to object to derogatory treatment of your creations. The other side are the economic rights, in other words, who makes money from a particular piece of content. And a good example of this is, for example, there are certain songs where you know that they are written by a particular person, but that person may no longer actually get any royalties for that song. They may have sold the licenses for those songs to other people. Now, in the online space, if you're looking for using particular material in your work, you obviously need to be aware of the copyright implications of this. And it's worth talking about the idea of the public domain as one particular area where even very well-established publications make some very basic errors. And this comes down to quite often a confusion between the phrase public domain as it applies in a legal sense and as it applies in a general sense. So, for example, the Irish Daily Mail took an image from an online magazine of an air hostess, and their defence for doing so without permission was that the image was in the public domain. Now, yes, the image was in the public domain, but many other things are in the public domain which are still covered by copyright. So, for example, newspapers are available on every street. They are in the public domain. Television broadcasts and radio broadcasts are in the public domain. But we don't say that that excuses us from using that content anywhere we want. They are still covered by copyright. The reason for this confusion is that the phrase public domain also applies to works that are no longer covered by copyright. So, for example, there are books from the 19th century whose copyright has elapsed, and those books are now public domain. Shakespeare's work, for example, is public domain material. You don't need a copyright license to republish that material. But you may need a copyright license to republish a particular translation or edition that is more recent, for example, where someone has invested a particular amount of work. A good example of these of this in practice is Project Gutenberg. Project Gutenberg is a website which collects a number of public domain works, again, 19th century fiction, things like Shakespeare, the Bible, old editions of the Bible. And you'll notice that the editions that are reproduced there are old editions. They are not new editions which involve new elements of creative work. So the first, I guess, point about copyright and online journalism specifically is not to confuse public domain works with work that is in the public domain. Just because an image or audio or video or text is online and in the public domain doesn't mean that you are free to use it without considering copyright. Any material that is created by an individual is covered by copyright, and if you want to reuse that material, you will need to either gain permission from the creator of that work or see if there is a license associated with that work which tells you how that work may be reused. And that brings us on to probably one of the most important elements of copyright in online publishing, which is the Creative Commons license. Now, Creative Commons was created in order to make it easier for people to communicate how they wanted their online material to be used. For example, if you're a photographer and you're publishing images on Flickr, you might be happy for people to use those images as long as they're not making money from those images. You may be willing for people to use those images but not to change them in any way. And there are various other ways you might want your content to be used. And you don't necessarily want to be dealing with every single person who wants to reuse that image. You want to make it as easy as possible for them to reuse your image. And again, this might apply to videos or text or something else. Creative Commons has a series of licenses which allows you to do this. And so if you go to creativecommons.org, you will find a number of different licenses which allow you to say how you want your content to be used. And these have a number of elements. The first element is attribution. And this again is that moral right that I talked about earlier. And essentially, it just means that you are saying that you can use my work as long as you say that I created it. And that's really important to remember, because you might look at a piece of work which has a Creative Commons license and just assume it's fine to use. But you need to look at the terms of use. And the most basic one is you must say who created that image or that text or that video or whatever. Another element is whether you can alter, modify and build upon a particular piece of work. So again, look at the Creative Commons license to see if you can do that. Now, broadly speaking, if you're cropping something or resizing something, you don't have to, that doesn't really qualify as altering or modifying the original work. But if you're mixing it with other pieces of work, for example, taking a piece of video and mixing it with other pieces of video, then that does qualify as modification, essentially. The other elements of Creative Commons are share alike. And share alike basically says that you can use my content, but you must share it under the same license. So in other words, if this license says that it can be used for non-commercial use with attribution and it cannot be modified, then you must share that material under the same license. And the final part of Creative Commons is whether someone is willing for their material to be used on a commercial basis or only for non-commercial purposes. If you go to the Creative Commons license website, creativecommons.org, you'll find more about all of these licenses and the different elements of them. And you can create your own licenses as well, which you can link to from your content. You can also find there a search engine which will allow you to search a number of sites that have content licensed with the Creative Commons license. So if you're looking for an image or a video or audio or some other material that you want to use in your work, creativecommons.org's search engine is a good way to find that. And Creative Commons is increasingly integrated into a number of social media publishing platforms. So, for example, on Flickr, if you use Flickr, you can set it up so that you have a particular Creative Commons license associated with your work. And if you go into the advanced search facility in Flickr, you'll find an option to search for only content that is licensed under Creative Commons. And you can even be more specific about whether you want to look for content that is licensed for commercial purposes. YouTube recently adopted Creative Commons as well, and this is particularly useful because it allows other YouTube users to literally take a video and add to it and build upon it, and that makes it easier to cross-publish video. And again, when you upload a video, this is one of the options that's available. You can either have a YouTube license or a Creative Commons license. And more broadly, there are plugins for WordPress which allow you to associate a Creative Commons license with every post. And there are other ways that you can use Creative Commons more flexibly. So again, if you have a particular license, you can just link to that from your content. And Creative Commons has been increasingly used by news organisations as well. Al Jazeera has for some time now been publishing its video reports on its website under a Creative Commons license, which means anyone can republish the video and they can also use it and remix it in interesting ways. Wired magazine recently announced that it was going to be publishing its photo archive under Creative Commons licenses, with the stipulation that people link back to the source. This is a really canny piece of distribution, which is adding value to old content in saying to people you can use their content, but it will drive traffic back to the Wired website. And in a local press, Trinity Mirror's hyperlocal publishing projects have involved them publishing some of their photo archive under Creative Commons licenses, allowing local bloggers to use photo material and building the relationship there. So Creative Commons has a number of uses. It's not just about you finding out how a particular piece of content is licensed. It's also about you licensing your own content, and also about sometimes distribution, building relationships, and contributing to a particular community in a way that has benefits for your commercial and editorial project.